This is a production of Cornell University.
The EA meeting, October 1st, 2008.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's meeting, Wednesday, October 1st, 2008, of the Employee Assembly. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order and also call for any late additions to our agenda. Yes, Beth.
Just a short comment about the Smoke Should Cornell Go Smoke-Free project.
Okay, I note that.
You're always on the agenda, so you can, if you're ever here, you can always update us on anything.
Wow.
Standing spot on the agenda.
Okay, with that, actually, with no more new additions to our agenda, I'll hand it over to Beth, and she can give us her update on the Smoke-Free for Cornell project now.
Great. I don't have any trustee business because nothing's happened except for $35 million being given to the university by the Tishes, which is fantastic. But October is when I'll be going to all the meetings and getting the true, real first experience of all the committees. So I sent out an email to about 10 people who were picked to possibly help with a report on Should Cornell Be Smoke-Free, which I think is a report that should be done by a committee, and I got no responses. None. I got one from a student who gave me an opinion, which I certainly will include, but no responses.
Where were 10 people from or chosen from?
I had someone from Gannett. I had a couple of people who participate in the assemblies who are smokers, who are known to be smokers. I had some other students, grad students, that, you know, Gary made a few suggestions for people who might be interested. So I didn't open it up to anybody, and I'm just wondering if I should.
Pat, this is Alan. Beth McKinney is giving a report on the efforts to look into a smoke-free campus.
So, you know, one thing that we can do, and Ruth Murley Doyle, who I work with, and I are willing to put together a bunch of information for comments and then send it out to get feedback from anybody through the assemblies or however. And we have all the information. I think we can gather research and information.
I mean, as annoying as it is, I would send it out again. I would put second try dash need a response.
Okay.
And just be that clear about it. And usually you'll get the responses to that. I mean, because people are just
sympathy.
Everybody's busy, but just say, you know, it's the second try.
I need a response.
And I need a response.
Okay.
You know.
So I will do that, and I'll just do a, you know, brief report to let you know the status, because I'd like to start and complete something. That'd be nice.
Any questions for Beth?
Okay, we're going to move on to the President's Address format, questions review. We made a call last week for, we were looking for EA feedback into the type of questions, topics, subjects that we want President Skorton to speak about during the address. We did receive a couple back, and the format is going to be, we're going to be asked shortly to provide this so speechwriters can start drafting a speech. And we need to be ready so when we're asked, we have the information to give to the President's office. Obviously, it's going to be energy and sustainability related, and we're reaching out. I know Beth had responded with some nice topics. And does anybody else have any other suggestions, ideas? And then I feel the best thing we'll do is take all that and decide at the next exec meeting next week, and then report back with what we come up with at the following EA meeting. Yes,
Brian,
yes, Pat?
One thing that I think is on everyone's minds right now is the economy, but not just how the economy is affecting all Americans, but how contract colleges are being affected had addressed that in a somewhat flowery way in his last communication to us. But I think it's a lot worse than what was originally communicated. And I guess I'm hoping that maybe he can outline a plan or provide us with some guidance or insight into how the university as a whole will be able to help sustain those contract colleges that are suffering that financial hardship.
And if you don't mind, so something along the lines of what you just said, and then definitely include contract colleges, but then also all of Cornell in general and all staff.
Right.
And I also agree with you that something economically and with the issues that we're facing would be nice to hear a little bit about.
One of the ways that he can slant it, which he has and would be nice for all the employees to hear, is that this budget crisis, whether it's the New York State or the financial crisis, is affecting everybody. Specifically, the New York State crisis isn't just affecting the contract colleges, because all of Cornell is going to have to pick up some of that concern. And so if you think that you are immune to the budget, to the New York State budget, you're really not.
Right. And not to speak for the president or any of the senior administration, I know that from what I've heard, even if it was just one area, specifically contract colleges that were going to get affected, to not have that happen, they spread out the burden of the economic crisis to all units. And that's where, so, but yeah, it would be nice to hear the president's views and thoughts on that. We will add that on there. Anything else? We usually send about five subject-specific questions in total that they can incorporate into the speech. And then, so what we'll do is next week at our exec meeting is we'll firm them up, and then at the following EA meeting, if you want to add it now to our next agenda, we'll announce what we came up with. Okay. Going to move on to the report from the chair. Everything is moving along nice. We are running into small hurdles here and there with the planning of the energy fair and the president's address, but we are coming together. We are firming up a nice list of Cornell groups and outside local vendors. Everybody seems to be on the ball. So I appreciate everything that everybody has been doing. We have some more work to do, but I feel that this is going to be a really beneficial event for the Cornell community to take part in and learn. Made a couple committee appointments. Alan Mittman has been appointed to the Faculty Senate as a representative from the Employee Assembly.
Yay!
Thank you.
Wow.
And as you remember, I did ask anyone interested in these appointments when they came up to send an email or call me or directly talk to me. University Assembly's appointment is Kelly Spicer. I feel she'll do a great job representing us on that committee.
UA is just a little bit different because the EA is supposed to vote on its appointees in UA.
The what?
EA is supposed to vote on its appointment to the UA.
Okay.
So I guess
we can vote that out now?
Yeah.
There doesn't need to be a resolution if there's a vote, that's good enough.
Is everybody okay with the short notice to vote on this appointment?
Sure.
I don't know as if we have anybody else. We do have vacancies, and she was interested. She didn't meet with me at lunchtime for coffee and explained to me the reasons why she wanted to be on it, how she would look to spread the word of staff, and that's all I really have to add, except my personal opinion that I think she would do a great job. Yes, Bill?
Yeah, I'd just like to throw on being on the University Center myself. We can use the support of the staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, yes, Pat.
Just so I understand, Kelly is not representing the EA, she's just representing staff on the University of Denver.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, I would be in full support.
Okay. Okay, with that, I'll ask everybody, we're going to vote.
Well, let's make a motion first.
Okay.
Can I just ask a 30-second thumbnail of Kelly? I don't think I know her.
Well, let's make a motion. We have a discussion.
Okay,
so I'll make a motion to have Kelly Spicer appointed to the staff position on the UA.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second, Bill. And I'll open this up for discussion.
Sure, does anybody provide us a thumbnail?
I can give you a thumbnail. Kelly is on our communications committee. She's pretty active. She works for the campaign for Cornell. She's big into that. She's attended a lot of our meetings in the past. She actually was trying to become an EA member after our elections.
Oh, I said I'm not part of that discussion.
Yes.
Before the primary. Now I know who that is.
And that fell through, and now she's still interested, and she feels that the University of Summers would be a better fit for her, as she has broader views and broader vision that she wants to, A, build on her knowledge of, B, contribute what she already knows, and C, go hand in hand and aligns itself nicely with her position at Cornell.
Okay.
Any other discussions?
I think her particular style would lend itself better on the UA because she'd really be outspoken for causing staff. So.
Yes. Okay. With that, I ask we're going to vote on Kelly Spicer being appointed as the staff representative to the UA. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? Okay, with that, we will get an official appointment letter to Kelly for this University Assembly's appointment.
Oh, you didn't vote for it, right?
No. There's another list of committee staffing appointments that's still being reviewed. It's a list of people that applied through the website and just being finalized. We got to get formally pushed back to the Office of Assemblies, and then I'll be able to announce them as well.
So, send the scans over to Ari, I guess.
From our September 17th meeting, Mary had mentioned she's going to work on getting an email to Cornell staff and units regarding supporting the energy fair and the president's address. And that email is being drafted as we speak, so that is happening. We'll give an update on that. Any questions for me?
Is she going to run that email by you before she sends it?
Nancy Doolittle is drafting it, and she did get input already. I don't know if it'll come back to me or not.
I think it'd be good if it did. And then this is our gig, and I think it'd be good to see if there's something out, just in case there is a mistake or.
Sure. Yeah, I sent her.
Any indication that we're embracing this for the rest of our natural lives, which I don't think would be a good idea.
No, I don't.
You know, I think it's a courtesy we need to look at it before something's coming.
I'm on that.
Brian?
Yes.
Will also included in the email be a comment about the president's address granted to the energy fair, or is it just exclusively the fair?
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. And that's that's my belief, is the president's address is first, and the energy fair is a supplemental event that's happening at the same time, not the other way around. So we'll make sure that that is the message is out there, the president's address is being held, and the energy fair is also being held.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome. Good point. Okay, actually, I don't see it on the agenda, so I guess this is another call for a new agenda item. My apologies. I gave a call for an award last week, and it's an award that I kind of brought up and created last year at the president's address, and the recipient was Donna Goss, and it was called the Employee Chair Award. It's something that I just did on my own. And then we also gave the same award to Michael Esposito at the report to the trustees at the end of the spring semester. But then the name had changed to the Employee Assembly Appreciation Award, which I think is more appropriate. I have received probably over 50% of the EA all nominating the same person. We also want to keep it confidential, so is there anybody that is not aware of... I have not received anybody else. It's been one person unanimously.
Do you want us to pause the recorder?
Yeah, that would be a good idea, and then I can go ahead. I was going to write it down and hold it up. We're going to pause the recorder. No report. Okay, we'd like to move on to report from our university assembly representative.
I have no report.
No meeting, no report. Hopefully everyone had time to review the meeting minutes, September 17th. So now I'll give everybody a minute to look over it real fast, and then I'll ask for a motion to approve the minutes. Yes.
I just have one quick question on item number 4, the report from chair.
Yes.
I was under the assumption, and I would rather leave it the way it is, but I thought that I get to be the chair of the EC, the emergency grant fund.
Did I get it wrong?
I think so. I thought that it was stated at the last meeting that I was the chair and Hazel was the vice chair.
That's correct.
That is correct.
I remember that because I said it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I would just request that change be made.
Okay, I agree.
And then I would also make a motion to accept the meeting minutes as amended.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
Bill with a second. All in favor to pass the September 17th meeting minutes with that change noted?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll approve the meeting minutes of September 17th with that one change on the chair, co-chair of the Emergency Grant Fund Committee. So we're going to move on to our committee reports. The Executive Committee met last week. Jason, do you have anything to add? I usually cover.
I don't think so.
Alan, anybody else have anything to add? Okay. We have nothing to report. I usually cover in the president's or in the report from the chair, and then I also see some of the topics we've discussed later on in the agenda that we'll cover. Staff Award Recognition Committee. Just another update. If you weren't here last meeting, we did select a George Peter Award recipient, and everything is working behind the scenes to make that happen for the next ceremony. Communication Committee, Jason.
Just want to reemphasize the email that went out from Ari for the new staff at assembly.cornell.edu email address, which also goes into a ticket system. You should have all received an email from Ari with that. That will probably... since I've worked with ticket systems, I'm sure that'll probably help keep them more organized and know when issues that are resolved and not resolved. And it also lets the staff delegate duties to other people, and so they all see the request and that they all can see the status of your request. So I cranked in a communications meeting last week. We've got a few things that we basically talked most about the publicity for the energy fair. There were a couple things that came out of that. One was an idea for vinyl banners that could be put up on strategic locations around campus, looking into the costs on that. There was also a talk about getting some slides that could run inside the campus store on their kiosk systems and possibly finding other kiosk systems around campus where people could have our slides inserted. We had a strong suggestion on sending a all-campus or all-employee mailing to all employees and the costs involved with that. We're looking at probably about $300 for distribution. We're looking at maybe a postcard. Since that discussion, I received one of those little postcards in the mail from the campus police. And I was going to call them and say, how much did it cost? Where could we get it? Because it was pretty green. You know, it was a black and white little card. I mean, ours can maybe have some more text on it, but it, nothing, you know, just something. So a high-end thing, and somebody's told me that, you know, if you got full-color glossy, it could cost up to $1,800 for 10,000 postcards. And the distribution piece of $300 is for campus mailing services to print the address of everybody and then distribute to mailboxes. So I'm looking into that. And we got a draft of a poster from Stephen Farina. The theme of the poster here is in the background is a green flame. So kind of an energy theme. I think it looks like a really cool poster. Some of the details are still being worked out. But this is this in his office is willing to produce the posters. They may be getting us a quote on production costs, either in-house and outside. I think I guess at this point we want to kind of gather all these things together and then figure out where are we going to focus our costs, because if we're going to have the email from Mary Opperman go out to all staff. Then if we did postcards to all staff, and then posters and banner, we may be getting a little overkill. I mean, considering that we've... What's that? Okay.
I mean, we can...
So I guess I think we'll be taking these, and I can assemble a final budget that we can maybe get some approvals for.
Great. Yeah, Phil.
This advertising that you're looking at, is it just Energy Fair, or is it the President's Address and Energy Fair?
Yeah, it's like Brian said, it's President Gorton's address comes first. Okay. It's the 2008 President Gorton address and Energy Fair.
But there's the reason I'm asking is if there is a separate budget for the President's Address, like $9,000 or whatever, is there a possible splitting cost on this or anything?
$7,000,
whatever it is, whatever the number is.
Our biggest pot.
Yeah.
I guess once Jason gets quotes and suggestions for us and what they recommend, how we journal it, we'll work that out with Alan. It's a good idea.
I think that in past discussions it was that the funds that were set aside for the address are not going to be used in the capacity that they were in the past because of the food. So now those funds can pay for some of the newer costs of the Energy Fair and more of the facility costs of being in Barton. So
it all depends on what he comes back with. If he comes back with $250, great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It sounds like it could be more expensive.
That's
all I want to just keep in mind.
I'm going to save a little sticker shock item for later in the agenda since it's not related to communications.
Jason, that's a good point. Mail out the final poster to all of us so we can put up in our areas.
We're not fully final on the poster yet. We've got some technical
stuff. Less than a month left. It would be nice to start getting some advertising up now. Maybe we can get an email of that.
I'd like to be able to have everybody a PDF that they can print out their own poster and stick outside your office.
Oh, yeah. I have 3 points. One is, if you do that, then we can then sub-forward it to other people to print out and post up, like we do with a lot of our posters. Second thing is my little pitch. I can't read the fine print. Do we have that notation that I suggested about those requesting disability accommodations should contact? I think that's sort of a magic language.
It should be on there,
Should be on the poster.
Yeah, those are the technical details that we'll be inserting. I'll make a note here.
I volunteer my office to field those requests. Let someone else wants to. The way it works here, event sponsors really work on disability accommodations. At this point, there's no one disability accommodation events person. So that's the second thing. And the third thing, just a question, it says President's Address. So the president makes lots of addresses. Is that what this is known as, or is this the president's address To staff or?
Yeah. To staff.
Okay, good point.
Just
so
president's address.
President. Address to staff. Okay. Okay. Good.
A quick question to Jason. Is this going to be webcast?
It's not. Beth has set up the video. It's going to be video recorded, but it's not going to be webcast live. It will be available on the Cornell webcast site as an archive video.
Because I'm just wondering if that may want to be, we might want to include that statement in the poster for those who can't attend.
Okay.
Good idea.
And for an extra fee, it can be live, but it's quite a hefty fee.
And I don't see the utility of that, people stopping and watching it live myself for the fee.
Just so we know people know. And I also would ask Jason to add cell phone for soldiers on there. We're going to update that in later in the agenda, but just so people know to bring their old cell phone equipment. But we'll get to that.
Okay.
Just one more tweaky communication thing. Going back to NGO5's email blast, the subject line is really going to be key on that. I just hope that people pay attention to that and give some brains. And
oh, on the email.
On Mary's email or wherever that's coming from.
Okay.
I think it'd be nice if it came from you and Mary. I think it'd be great if that's how.
I can ask. I can ask.
Is there also going to be a signer, a sign language interpreter there?
We saw that.
Who arranges for that? President sometimes seems to have sign interpreters at his events.
That was what, $250?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. From the local group that's been recommended by people who've used them in the past.
I included that in my email.
We
had Lynn Snyder.
Okay.
And I have her back.
Okay, so we're working on it. But I think it was great. The idea is to have a person doing sign language next to the stage. So we can really address
parts of the event.
Yeah.
All right. Let me remind everybody that we're still in the communications committee report. We got a whole another old business item for other details of the energy fair.
Oh, okay.
So, but just to wrap up, I
keep communicating.
Not to cut you off. It's a great idea. I already wrote it down. So I think that was it. We pretty much did focus on the energy fair publicity and the communications committee. And thank you for all the feedback on the poster. I will add those all in and see if we can get a second draft and get the production costs.
Great. Any other questions for Jason? Okay, with that, we're going to hand the floor over to Alan and his finance report.
I think we've comprehended what I wanted to address just to see where the budget is standing. To review that, we had around $7,000, and then take Bill's comment into account. So I'm awaiting the final numbers to fit into place.
We're getting close to getting them to you, but we're shooting for under that cost.
Okay.
Okay, emergency grant fund. Pat, do you have anything you want to...
I got an email from Kelly Spicer. I don't know if Dennis is in the room, but she apparently has had some conversations with Dennis and also with you, Brian.
Yes.
To discuss how her office might be able to partner with us for maybe kind of changing the way that the ETF is funded and also how it it provides assistance financially. And I'm going to ask her to come to our meeting, the next meeting that Hazel and I are going to be having. And I'd love to hear more about what she has to say. Primarily what she's looking for is having staff contribute to the emergency grants fund through a payroll deduction. And that would then build up the fund, and then that might help us to maybe change the emphasis of how we provide those funds to staff in need. And I'm really intrigued by the concept, and I think it's something we might want to look at. And of course, we discussed it. But that's all. At this point, that's all I guess I want to say about that.
Pat, this is Bill. Real quick, you said that hopefully have her at the next meeting. How about the next?
Yeah.
All right, with the full committee.
Right. Yeah, I think just if the emergency grant was.
Yeah, the emergency grant.
Right, and then we can just hear what she has to say, and then we can bring that to the entire EA to discuss further.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Any other questions? Okay, we're going to move on to the Personnel Policy Committee.
I have not had an opportunity to bring this group together, but I'm hoping within the next couple of weeks I will be able to do that, and I'll have a report at the next meeting.
Sounds good. Yeah, Pat was just appointed as the chair of the Personnel Policy Committee. She's going to revitalize this committee. IOC, Internal Operations.
Me and Ari have been working on finalizing that list of committee appointments, and actually, I've made sure that they all look good. Do you have a copy of that list electronically, Ari, that you can send me so I can fill out, send that, because scanning is going to be a pain in the butt.
Okay. Yeah.
So then we'll have that finalized committee list, and we'll send those appointment letters.
And it's quite a good number of
mm-hmm.
people. Interested in joining committees.
Yep.
Anything else for Peter?
Nothing else.
Okay, university benefits? Nothing to report on that one. Employee education. Jason is our new chair of Employee Education Committee.
I've got some interested people we haven't met yet. I don't know if sanity is going to allow us to meet before the Energy Fair, but I'm not going to make any promises. But as soon as the Energy Fair is over, that is the number one thing that I want to focus on, because communication can take a little back seat for a little while, because we will have had lots of communication to the campus about what the employee assembly is. So,
and I can add that after the Energy Fair, the chair might hibernate for a little while as well. It's a lot of our committees are, we have newly appointed chairs. They're getting revitalized. We've got new members, and expect for some good things to happen in November after the Energy Fair. Okay, we'll move on to the ad hoc charter review. Pat or Leon, do you have anything to add?
Would you mind updating Pat?
Sure. Hazel wasn't able to participate, but we made a little progress. One of the questions that we were having last week that kind of slowed us down a little, probably my fault, but in the elections committee, we were kind of proposing to add a new committee, and we're trying to work out the details of who would be, who would represent the staff on that committee, whether it be just PA members or staff at large. So we're still working on it, and we're going to hopefully get back to that next week and make some more progress.
Great. Thank you, Pat. Any updates? Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to the paw print committee.
Well, Dennis isn't here, but Leon and I have both attended the last editorial staff meeting.
Okay.
And one thing I would like to mention by me is that Dennis will be kind of advertising the Energy Fair for us in, the events section and possibly some larger articles. And I know Amber wrote about it in her last news and news column, and anybody else is writing their next news and news columns, even if it's not really advantage, just put a little pitch in there. Oh, by the way, EA is having an Energy Fair at the end of this month. We're going to get some more free advertising in there.
You should also have Dennis hold a spot for the special award that will be given.
Yeah, did we mention that at all? I don't remember.
We never mentioned
that. Does he know who it's for?
I don't think that wasn't discussed.
He doesn't know.
So we can bring that up.
You can bring that up to him. Mm-hmm. The title is Employee Appreciation Award that we will be given this.
The next meeting is in 2 weeks. So, when the award is, he might actually wait until after the Energy Fair when that award is actually given, and then he can have photos of that event. You can just write about that was given to the recipient. You might prefer to do it that way.
If you remember to bring it up to him, though.
Yeah, he'll just hold a space for it, put it on his list.
Yeah, great. Okay, we're going to move on to our old business. Employee assembly vacancies, who's applied, what's next?
Did we set a cutoff date of when we...
How many have we had? Update us.
As far as I know, just the one that you corresponded with, Victoria. But I don't know if she ever actually went in the system.
Did anyone go in the system?
No,
I haven't seen anything.
Can I suggest that we extend, let's say it's extend it to the end of October and continue our outreach? We'll work with Dennis to have the announcements continue in paw print, and then we can have some publicity maybe at Barton Hall.
I don't have any problem. We have nobody that has.
Actually, we have two that I had brought to light, but apparently they didn't complete the documentation.
Yeah.
But I remember over a month and a half ago, I had brought forth that I had two people very, very interested in joining, but at the time we were seeking contract college, and we were both endowed. So I would hope that we would still be able to consider these two folks, and I will encourage both of them to get their documents in.
Yeah, I would say, I would suggest at this point we extend it, but we don't be specific. And if we get contract college employees interested and they apply formally through the website, that we can consider them a little higher than the others, but we got nobody. But definitely first, I think that we need to extend this.
I agree.
Everybody okay with extending this?
Well, there's no fixed deadline. It's just
right.
Bigger advertising.
Yeah. Right. It's just a call for. Right. But either way,
I guess what my suggestion was is we have kind of a floating date that when we think we have enough to review, or two to review, or three to review, that's when we actually have the meeting to determine. So if we kind of say, like, we'll give it to the end of October, we'll let the whole month be a time to collect at least two, maybe more, and then the first meeting in November, we might have to have the discussion.
And just keep this in mind that this is important. We have an opportunity for two contract college employees to become voting members on the employee assembly. They're underrepresented, and we need to extend it, push for them through advertising, and we also need to do word of mouth. Now, Bill, didn't you contact the vet school?
Mm-hmm. I'll go back and talk to them again.
Okay.
I'll have an opportunity tomorrow. I'm talking at the Cornell Communicators Luncheon.
Okay. That might work. So
they're communicators. They might be interested.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I also have a contact in the Lab of Ornithology,
okay,
which is a CALS unit, so I will push there as well.
That would be excellent. Any questions, I'm happy to be the main contact for them. Also, Peter, as chair of IOC, Jason, all of us in the Office of Assemblies. But get them on the website and get them to apply. So what are we going to extend this to? How about
Friday, October 31st?
Well, it'd be nice to announce the new members at the Energy Fair, but in the president's address, but
end of October, and then we could have a discussion on November 5 at the November 5th meeting.
Do you have to have a deadline? Can you take people as they come? Or are you going to want to vote on groups of people?
A deadline just so we know we can review the applications at that time.
Well, it's also for advertising purposes. Yeah. When we put in the newspaper, when we have a deadline date, we still say, oh, I need to send contact right away to get in
and
there.
And put response needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Linda.
The president's address is at the end of October.
Yeah.
for that one meeting, right? Right.
Folks to set up a specifically assembly meeting with folks down there. Any attention or consideration you could give in this regard would be appreciated.
She nudges them this way and that way all the time.
This is like a cancer. I mean, I think that the inability for us to fill these seats has lacked the layers of issues here that is kind of like 800 pound gorilla in the room. How does she nudge them all the time?
No, she doesn't judge them for this. She has so many other job responsibilities that I would say it's not her responsibility to get EA people on
it. I think we need as many strategies as possible, and I think she asks certain things of us. I think we bow to her for various things, and I think that she can help us with this.
Could we? No, wait a minute. We don't bow to her. We kiss her ring.
this is what I'm gonna suggest so we can move forward and see if everybody can work with this. I say that we extend this invitation through the month of October, so the end of October, if that's October 31st or the 30th, I don't know, and that we get something pushed out through Paul Frank again. But then I task everybody here to speak with somebody in a contract college or the whole college like Bill did, and try to push.
Something we could do, we could help draft some language for an email, and maybe it could come from you to the deans of contract colleges.
Well,
have seen that they send a notice to their employee, because each of them have a mailing list.
Do I have approval to do that?
You certainly can send a letter to the dean. They don't necessarily have to. But
that's fine.
Could do that for elections in
okay.
the spring after Marion sent a university-wide one.
Could I just suggest that in addition that maybe you copy their associate dean?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're going to draft that for me, Ari?
Sure.
Outstanding. Is everybody okay with that? We're going to extend this to the end of October, and we're going to push. I'm still asking everybody to contact somebody that they know in a contract college, or think about it. Make some effort, at least, and we'll send these emails out and hit these units up directly.
Are we going to be tabling at the employee celebration day?
Oh, employee celebration day. What day is that?
November 1st. Because it seems like that's another audience.
Okay. We usually have a presence. They ask us to volunteer.
I mean, other than serving food. I mean, they actually have a table there to try to drum up some. Because how many, what is it, 3,000 over there or 4,000?
I'm all for a table if somebody's able to, you know, commit to doing that. I think it's a good idea. Is that a volunteer?
Well, it could be. What date is it?
Saturday
something. November 1st. Let me check. I would be willing to be one of the volunteers. To be among the volunteers.
So there's a fallback. If we get nobody through October.
Gary sent every opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. 3,000 or 4,000 folks come through there.
Right.
I also think, since it's the Gary's comment, I'm a little concerned about publicizing a cutoff date like that, because I think some of the people who might be interested are going to be coming to this energy fair. There's going to be a lot of concerned people by that time, even as this everything escalates downhill, if something can escalate downhill. And that might be a right group right there. So we have a strong pitch that we're seeking representatives, particularly from contract colleges, but others, during the president's address, and then followed up at the celebration.
We will be having a table there for the employees. I'm like,
yeah, but it's also short notice to say, well, but on October 27th, that you've got to get this all done by the 31st.
How about
why not extend it a little bit into November?
Well, we got November 5th. That would give them a week after the energy fair. That's if they didn't see the correspondence through October. And then November 19th, Mary is attending.
I think that another possible place to have a table is at the Cornell Recreation Committee, because there's Halloween happening. You know what that is, right? Where people dress up and they get prizes.
That's a different suggestion that I think might be a little more convenient.
Okay.
The date you can put up in the conference can be the end of the month, and then if nothing's coming in, the board can make a call a few days before or even the day of the president's address, and just the deadline that's announced there could be later.
So what happens if a fantastic candidate signs up tomorrow? Can they not be installed until that deadline? Do they have to wait, or
so we should,
do you approve somebody right away, even though the deadline hasn't been reached?
My understanding of a deadline is when you do a call, unless you put, if there's a deadline, then we wait until the deadline's over to give everybody a fair chance. If two outstanding candidates send something on October 8th and we choose them, and then 10 outstanding candidates send something on the deadline date, you know, then they're going to wonder why they weren't considered. So if we do make a cutoff date, so it's a good point, we have to stick to it. Yes,
I have a question here that we haven't all agreed on, whether there should be a cutoff date or there shouldn't be a cutoff date.
Right.
I think we have tried it with a cutoff date, and I don't see it working. I think we should go the other way. Think outside the box and do it without a cutoff date and see what happens.
Well, just getting back to the reason that we had the cutoff date, and I thought there was consensus about that earlier in the meeting, is because you have to give people a deadline to respond to when you publish a call for it, or they might not respond because...
But with the date, they didn't respond. So what difference does it make?
Do you want to say we'll review applicants at the beginning of each month?
I think that if there's no advertised cutoff date and we're all doing our jobs and we all do go and pursue these contract college employees, that we'll start getting people to trickle down on the website and filling out the applications. But we can, if we don't advertise a cutoff date, then we can start appointing people as they come in. If we advertise a cutoff date, I feel we gotta wait. So that's the two, the left and the right there, that we have to decide on first. So we already decided to extend this. So we're gonna extend it. Now we need to decide if we're gonna extend it indefinitely until it's filled, or if we're gonna have a cutoff date.
Yeah, the impression I had, people are stuck in this cutoff date, it was purely for text on conference, so people see the date and reply to it. It doesn't have to be anything formal. Or, you know, internally for us, we can have it floating, we can appoint them as they come. But when we put it on paw print or on some mailing or email, then we say, boom, October 31st, just to get people to want to reply immediately. It's more of a gimmick rather than some kind of specific formal. If that's the impression I had the first time we suggested a cutoff date, it's not about locking people.
I agree. I don't know if someone can take you to task on that, though. If I applied before the cutoff date and found out that you already assigned your people 2 days earlier,
okay, then how about, like I said, November 5th will be the cutoff date. And this is for those of you that want to go with a cutoff date. November 5th, which you got to think we got a week or two before we get this advertisement out. Gives a month. It also gives the energy fair and the president's address a chance to say, hey, we need more people. I'll announce it during the address. And we have a table that'll be, we have an EA table that'll be manned and booted that we can give out information, we can have a laptop, we can have people sit there and fill out the online application, as well as not for the EA vacancies, as well as for committees that we are lacking on. Is that fair?
Yeah.
But there's some people that did, do you want me to explain it again quickly? Or?
Oh no, I understand. But I just like what Enda said better, that's all. I like every month to do a rolling thing.
Here's the problem with that, is if you... Well, first of all, if you say rolling basis indefinitely, then that kind of implies that you're not expecting it to be filled by the end of this month, which this isn't like a regular thing. This should be an exceptional circumstance.
Well, let me say this. at least from my perspective, I guess to move on, why don't we try this? If it doesn't work, then we'll try something else. Nothing is chiseled in stone.
Yeah, we're only talking about a month.
Yeah, let's try to see what happens.
Try with or without?
No, what you said.
What I said?
Yeah. Let's try what you said. If it
then
work,
then I say that come November 5th. And that gives us that meeting that we can get together and review what we have. Come November 5th, then I'm all for opening up and taking others outside of contract colleges. Because I feel we've got to make a good effort to fill these with the underrepresented units in our university. But I want... sound okay? Is it workable?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay.
It's been November 4th, but like 4 p.m. or something, so we're not sending emails back.
Okay. Who's going to take care of everything that we just agreed upon to make sure that happens? You pass
well,
it on?
Well, I mean, they'll send electronic versions, and then I'll can send
right. All right, you're going to draft...
What?
Well, you're going to draft an email to the deans and show it to me.
Yes.
Okay. Who's going to let Dennis know about him this out in Paul Park?
I will.
You will? You're on that committee. And you guys, obviously, with your ticketing system, will be able to know if people come in. You'll be helping them. We'll throw one on. Let's throw it on old business every agenda till November 5th. That way we can find out where we are every 2 weeks.
And then if you just copy in those points as you see them, I can bring up in the IOC reports and give a number of how many you might have gotten.
Brian?
Yes.
Just a quick question. The email that Ari is drafting for you, are we taking that message and sending it out, us individuals who are doing our own thing as far as trying to generate interest? Or are we doing our own email?
Maybe a little different than that email, because that email is going to be, I'm sure, worded speaking with deans and associate deans.
Okay.
I think we could work an email from you, and then it could be forwarded to anyone if people want to forward it.
Okay. So yes, Pat, the email that they're drafting will be for everyone to use.
Okay, and Ari, how soon do you think that'll be ready?
By the end of today. Let's aim for the end of this week.
Okay.
And just one clarification
sure.
for myself. For my communication to the vet school, just want to restate it. It actually didn't go out to the vet school. I talked to the communications department and
okay, that's
right. And then kind of, to be honest, I let it drop if I talked to them any more questions. So I didn't do that. So
okay.
I want to make sure people understand it didn't go out to the vet school.
Great. I know come president's address, if we don't have two people to at least consider at that booth, I will be getting some candidates to guarantee. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the president's address and the energy fair task list.
Okay. Well, I don't think there's anything to talk about the president's address portion, but the energy fair, there's a serious sticker shock that came in on the audio. It was like $2,500, and we kind of balked at that. Pulling up the email here.
This was for the solar stage, the stage, the audio, the speakers up in the bleachers. That was $2,500. Andy Page is the lead on this task, and he is contacting this vendor to see if they can do anything cheaper.
HR stage was in service outdoors at our kitchen over the summer.
Well, that was just a little solar stage.
Right.
It wasn't.
But it was music. It had speakers.
Yeah. This Andy's. He's a guru with this audio video equipment, and he is not 100% sure. No, he knows that the solar stage and what it will give us is not going to be sufficient to address the crowd that we have.
So what I had asked Andy, I said, the quote seems to be too high. Are there alternative options available? Is any campus group able to provide basic sound? He said, currently there's no group on campus that can provide sound reinforcement for Barton Hall. This is the zone for what these services cost. Barton is a carnivorous or cavernous space, and it takes a lot of equipment, labor, and expertise to make the sound intelligible in there. So that being said, he went back to the vendor to ask for a more itemized quote and see if they can come down with the price.
Who did it the last time the president spoke in there a few years ago?
Cap is a very common vendor for that space.
Weren't there speakers at the office professional luncheon that HR, I know Marilyn Wilkins was on that committee. I can check with her how they did their speakers.
Was that in Barton Hall?
It was in Barton Hall. They had at least 100 tables with 8 people at each table. Right.
Maybe find out who did it. But
I'll check with her today and I'll email you.
Yep. See, last year at the Statler, we didn't have to worry about that because they had a built-in sound system. So that's something we're working on. And I only threw up $1,000 in a rough estimated cost for stage and sound. But we'll wait till Andy gets back with us. He may be able to get it reduced.
We might just have to bite the bullet.
Yeah. Right,
these guys
right.
These guys are going to coordinate with Cornellcast folks.
Right.
As well.
Right.
The only thing I'd like to say is we want to make sure the sound is right in there, though.
Yes.
We've been in there at times and you can't hear what's going on. It'd be the worst thing we can do is to shortcut ourselves.
On sound.
Yeah, on sound and not be able to hear the president.
It has to be a professional setup.
Yeah, it does.
We can cut in other areas, but that's one where I agree. But we'll see what he can come back to us with. And with an itemized list, we may be able to say, okay, maybe we could do something different on this. But right now, it was just one lump sum, and we didn't get to analyze that and pick it apart at all.
Sign interpreter? Who can take care of that to make sure that they're there to do that?
Well, I'd be happy to do it, but we're just waiting for a report back from the president's office whether they're going to do
they
it.
They might do it.
Automatically.
Okay.
I don't know how that's paid for or arranged or right. The normal person that works, I don't know.
But if not, then...
So, I'll forward the email and report back. Because it was about the podium, the seal, the interpreter, the green tie,
I'll be happy to arrange for it if the president's office does not do that. Or arrange it for them if they want.
Great.
Okay. Alan has been designated, in pseudo designation, the disability liaison for the event.
Right.
Can you explain what that would entail?
Well, first thing, I'm going to go to Barton Hall, appointment next week, to scope out the disability related issues. Each event sponsor. At Barton Hall and elsewhere is responsible for providing disability access. And I'll be going with some folks who are provide backup for that. But I'll be the person to whom the requests for disability accommodation will come in. So, for example, typically at Barton Hall, on the side of that would be the east side, right? The east entrance. Back entrance is the only handicap wheelchair crutch sort of accessibility rather than spiraling up the stairs to get in there from the front. So you have a special entrance. I don't know what our, I have to work with you on what where our entrance is going to be. Are we going to have everybody coming through the front, everybody coming through the back, coming through both? But the disability access will have to come from the east side.
Where's the east side there where the bleachers are?
That's on the opposite side of the bleachers, on the right side.
Oh, that's going to be our main entrance.
That is the main entrance?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then people are going to come through there.
People won't be coming through both ways?
Is this people hall?
Yes.
But people will be coming in both ways.
Right, except for during the address, then we don't want... to me, it doesn't matter. Those doors are open. Cornell Dining is going to take up that door over in the one corner, but whether they come in Teagle Hall or Statler side, I don't see why they wouldn't be open. Yeah, you're...
Yeah. Even if he's speaking, are you going to tell somebody, no, you can't come in this way, you got to go over?
Sure, they can just come in and go up.
They wouldn't be bothered to
come in. That's fine.
Okay. So the entrance will be there. So I'm going to do a little survey Reacquaint myself with the disability outfitted rescue, which is the second thing. And whatever else, because I'll be meeting with a facilities person who does this regularly.
Okay.
And then requests will come in to me, and I will let them know. There'll be a little bit of a group will have to be formed. I have to find out how they get these. You know, I was just at the Bill Maher event and the Dalai Lama event, and people will meet people at the door with wheelchairs so that if they can make it to the door but need assistance circulating in the facility, then there is an ability to accommodate. I don't know where, I have to find out where they get those wheelchairs from, but there were maybe a half a dozen there waiting for people if they needed them.
So great.
So that's the plan there.
And he's already doing some good work on this part.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, and that's the diagram. Did you have something left?
We're on the energy fair now,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I coordinated the parking passes for the vendors. I need to know the date the letter's going out confirming to each vendor. Do you want to put the parking pass in that note?
I'll talk to you offline about that.
Okay.
And just, I just sent an email this morning, but just as a heads up, with the vendors that I have that are in charge of Cornell, there's three automobiles that are part of the displays, actually. The Van Pool, the Car Share, and then the X-Teams, 100 miles per gallon car are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've asked if they could put them inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
We can do Alcatraz.
Well,
are we need to look at that?
I just need to ask them.
Okay.
With me it's fine, but I need to check with Mike.
And just as a matter, if you can't do it, then they're saying they really need to put them right outside the door.
Right.
So just need to try. If we're even planning things, keep that space in mind.
Sure. And for those of you that don't know, this is the layout we've come up with. We obviously know where Tegel and Statler are. So it's pretty much going to be split in half. We're not going to use a curtain to split it up in half. And where the bleachers come off of the Statler sidewall, all the bleachers will be used, and the stage will be centered on that. And then on the far side, going up to the space that we need, pretty much up to half, maybe even over halfway, will be the cars, the displays, the booths. And then Cornell Dining has taken over the one whole side over there. That's what they need to have enough workspace for their part of it. And that square in the middle, that's where the tables and everything are. I don't know exactly how that's going to be set up. It all depends on how many vendors we do have committed by the time we get a little closer. But we have enough tables and chairs covered at this point. There's another event going on in there, and the tables are still going to be there, so there's plenty of them. Yes, Beth?
I got a call from Helen today who wants to know if there's going to be a little map for everybody where all the vendors will be.
We hope so.
Okay.
Right.
Some attention will have to be given to the placement of the tables for accessibility issues.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Department staff. Sure.
And that's something when you get we get a layout. Jason's doing the vendors and.
Or no curtain in back of the stage.
Oh, behind the stage, yeah. There's going to be a backdrop.
Backdrop,
but not a curtain that hangs from the ceiling.
Okay, right.
There's going to be a curtain along the see where CU Dining is. Possibly, most likely, along the wall that covers up all the Garden Hall equipment.
That's the red curtain? Does that come free?
No.
It's not free, but we're working out.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, it's not free.
Okay.
It's just the red curtain that covers all that equipment and everything that's piled up.
All the electrical devices, pipes, and...
So the Cornell cast folks are going to have to get some handle on this for their lighting and all the stuff that's going to go on in that, too.
Yep. So, then that would be you, right?
I will contact them.
Okay.
How are we doing with the outside vendors?
I've got about five or seven or so commitments, and I just put a call to the Chamber of Commerce today, who is going to send our message out to all their members and have their members contact me. Just a little bit of a reverse on me plucking people off the list. I may be sending out an email to people that I need help, because there is no way with coordinating everything else that I can continue to do the outside vendor thing.
It is pretty much just, could you as easily say, Brian, here's five businesses, this is what you send them, can you go ahead
and do it? What I would like to do is get together with people that could help and review the last year's list, because there's a lot of names of organizations on there that I just don't understand their energy fair connection. So just review those things and say, are they going to be called or not called, or, you know, well, I mean, I had a weird time trying to explain to the AAA why they would be appropriate to be there. You know, energy savings for your car. You guys give tips to your members on this stuff. You're a good fit, but, you know, it took a little while of explaining, and I think if I go to an organization that I can't figure out what their energy slant would be, it's going to be even a tougher sell, especially if they come back and say, why should we be there?
Well,
I don't know. You're on the last list after last time.
You should probably meet sooner versus later. And something you just mentioned there that we have to be careful with, because if you're trying to watch that in the internet, you really have to compare it to this. Is to have three or four groups that are all doing the same thing. Because there's interim groups that are going to talk about. And I know you're just using that for example, but there's a couple of interim groups that are going to talk about automobiles and things you can do, lower gas mileage and reduce costs and the health. I don't know that we necessarily want four or five groups showing up and all doing things.
I just think
campus stuff goes and has to be up to everybody else.
Yeah, well, at this point, there's no fear of having too many of one specific thing, but.
I'd be happy to work with you on that.
There you go.
I'd be happy to. Okay.
You got help. You got to get this rolling.
Yeah, this.
This week.
No, there's this week.
Okay.
Okay. Alan and Beth.
I just use it for example.
Yeah, Jason, I'll help you too.
Okay.
So, any more follow up on that insurance question we were talking about?
No, I've still got to get check with
Jalen?
Craig.
Craig,
yeah. Sweet talk him into saying no, that we don't need it, because it's going to be a big pain in the butt if we have to get that.
I'll reach out to him. I work with him on different stuff.
With Craig?
Sure.
Okay. You want to talk to them and say, we really, really, really don't want to have to collect liability.
I mean, it's pretty pro forma. In general, they just send us the stuff, but I'll deal with the specs there.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're going to move on to cell phone for soldiers.
I make a motion to extend the meeting for 10 minutes.
Second.
Okay.
Yes, I need to go.
Okay, we're through that. We're just moving on in the agenda now. Thanks, Pat. Moving on to cell phone for soldiers. Alan did check. It's a legitimate organization. We're going to throw it on our advertising. Again, what it's going to do is you bring in your old cell phone equipment and you drop it off, and it goes to soldiers so they can have cell phones to call their loved ones. Anything you want to add to that, Alan? Or?
No, I saw an email from Bill to Lieutenant Colonel Page.
Yep.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's going to be there with that table, and he's working on a couple of details.
I saw that.
There's another cell phone collection going on. I just got an email about it today, a student group, and I just want to make sure it's not too much of a conflict of where people should send their cell phones.
I mean, ours is going to be bring it for the soldiers.
Yeah,
and
they can't.
Yeah. So that's going to be on our advertisement. So let's move on to the Chili Chat follow-up.
Jason was good enough to send an email to everyone with a link online to the Chili Chat report. I'm not sure what else there is that people might be looking for regarding this topic. Any comments or questions that could address about Chili Chat?
Brian, I have a question. I think Hazel's concern is that once the report was finalized, I assumed that it was sent to Mary Opperman or senior administration, but then nothing was ever heard beyond that. So I guess my question would be, where are we with that whole thing?
Pat, this is Peter.
the original, the intent of Chili Chat was basically to bring staff together and give an opportunity to connect with Mary and with us, and you know, it was more of a kind of a way to get the employee assembly out there, and I think it accomplished that purpose very well. The staff really enjoyed being able to, you know, communicate and had the opportunity to come up to our offices. And then we, you know, it was, made sense to create a document that kind of detailed our discoveries and whatnot and kind of finished it up. You know, Mary read the report, and you know, she was at all the Chili Chat, so she's definitely aware of everything that staff had to share, and you know, and she's in a position to act upon, you know, any knowledge she gained through that, through human resources. I'm not really sure what we can do beyond that. I mean, it's kind of silly to write a resolution that says, Mary, please read this. I mean, even though she already has read it. So I'm just kind of confused about it, because as far as I can see, the Chili Chat was done, finished and wrapped up.
But I thought also, Ari, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought there was a resolution that was attached to that that document that requested more response or something from Mary Opperman. Am I incorrect in that?
Well, the resolution that we were going to write was basically going to say we resolved that Mary read this report, and that was to extend the resolution. And, I mean, I thought it was kind of silly, but I wasn't going to argue it because it didn't matter to me much. But, I mean, if there's, I'm not sure, if you want to start a resolution that, for example, we resolved that we should have the middle of March off for all staff, or, I mean, some other resolution based on our findings from Chili Chat, that's certainly going to be done, but that's kind of like a separate entity, I mean, a separate thing.
Yeah, but I guess that's not how I understood this, Peter. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was under the assumption that the whole purpose of this was to bring to light the issue with staff not being able to take vacation and to make recommendations. And I have read the Chili Chat, and my thinking is that we were asking Mary to respond to this in some way, and I'm not certain that that was ever done.
Well, this is Ari, and I mean, with my memory of this, it was quite a while ago. I think at one point there was a discussion about whether to have a resolution, but I don't think that ever resulted in a resolution, and I don't think it was passed as a resolution. But I do agree there were some concrete recommendations in there which might be good to follow up on with Mary. But at this point, I mean, the Chili Chat is so far in the past, but I think at this point, you know, you would read it and then you would come up with a recommendation or set of recommendations that you want to talk with her about moving forward.
You know, if Mary's going to be here in the middle of March anyway, perhaps we can put it on the agenda for discussion with her in that November 19th meeting, and that way we can all participate and kind of have her throw her opinion and respond, and then we can work from that to see if it's something that she agrees with.
I don't think it was ever given to her with an explicit request that she would get back to the assembly on those recommendations.
But if she's here, we kind of corner her, you know?
Well, and I don't want to belabor a point, but I think a lot of time, effort, and energy was put into that whole process.
Yeah.
And to have it just sit there unresponded to or nothing further being done is wrong.
Well, would you agree then to add it on the discussion with Mary in two meetings, and then depending on how the discussion goes, we can either push it further if it seems like something that she's interested in?
I would think that would be a great idea, and Brian, I might recommend as well that maybe you send it to her once again and ask her, you know, if she could meet with us to discuss that specifically.
Yeah, we will put that on the agenda for that meeting.
We can put an agenda for the exec committee meeting, then we can discuss how we'll send that to her.
Yeah, she'll definitely know about. She's not going to just walk in here on the 19th without knowing what we are going to talk to her about. We always let her know ahead of time.
Okay, that's
great. So she'll be able to, you know, review great. It and be ready to answer questions about it.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
And that's it for that.
Anything else?
One thing. Are we in the open forum?
Yes.
Okay. The staff climate survey committee, I didn't realize it was not here. I know there were some people that were really interested.
We did have our first meeting. Just some general stuff real quick. The committee is quite large. It's a big cross-sectional group. We will be meeting once a month as the schedule they have right now. And the general general guideline, I'll actually give you, I think next time we're going to finalize, I give it to you. But basically what we're going to do is meet a few times. They're trying to set up some focus groups in the, I think it was the December, January timeframe, that they want to talk to try and piece together survey questions. So what we're doing is trying to determine how to approach focus groups. And then after they do that, working on some, you know, working the survey questions up to be able to present to the president quite a ways down the road, actually, and I can't remember all the timing. The biggest concern I have and what I brought up is the only thing I saw in the timeline was talk to these focus groups and then come up with a survey. And you've got the Family Services Committee and you've got all other kinds of committees out there that are working in the same area, and there's nothing I saw in there for input for that. So I brought that up to their attention, saying, you know, you've got a ton of information out there already, and shouldn't we be gathering some of that? So, you know, have these committees come in and talk to us or gather reports there and see what people have already found. And, you know, it almost looked like we were starting from scratch. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. But when I get the schedule, I'll get it to everybody so you guys can look at it. To be honest, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot, because it's once a month that there's really a lot of meetings this group is going to do before they really come up with this. Even if it's over a full year, but you're talking about 12 meetings, and some of those meetings are going to be the focus groups. So I'll get out. I don't have all the details here, but I'll make sure to send it on to you guys. I just want to make sure you're aware of it.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. If anybody is interested in running next week's meeting as part of the succession planning on my behalf, just contact me through email or give me a phone call, and I'll work with you on that.
Ryan,
yes.
Two real quick things before we close. The program for the president's address, I think someone was going to get some information to me. We were going to be printing that in Geneva, and I hadn't heard from anyone.
Pat, what lead time do you need to print the program?
They're going to need a minimum of 1 week.
Okay.
If we can swing that.
Yeah, that's the program, and at the end it has special thanks to...
Yes.
Yeah, we won't... Yeah, we'll definitely get that to you, but yeah, we're not ready to make that program yet.
Okay, and then the second point thank is, you know, the president's address. You guys were all in the energy group, so I didn't want to interject at that point, but... typically or annually, it's kind of a thing that Geneva Experiment Station presents the president, and very often with gift basket.
Yeah, you're still doing that as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I just want to be sure so I can get planning on that.
Oh, that's tradition.
Yeah, well, I thought so, but I... Okay, cool.
No, you're right.
I thought it was a new tradition to do that for the EA members, too.
I'll second that.
So moved.
Okay, this time I'd like to adjourn the meeting. We're out of time.
Thank
you. Thanks,
Pat.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.